As a general rule, there's no place for politics in the pulpit. If there's one thing that history demonstrates, it's that every time the church has been enmeshed in politics, the church has ended up the loser. In short, it is not in an Anglican parson's remit to weigh the political leanings of the members of his flock. Rather, his job is to try to turn them into the best possible Christians they can be, whatever their political leanings. Occasionally, however, one encounters ideas so intrinsically evil that the no politics in the pulpit rule does not apply. Lutheran pastors Martin Niebuhr and Dietrich Bonhoeffer, for example, bravely denounced the evils of Nazism during the 1930s and the Second World War. With this in mind, one has to observe that the downside of growing old these days is that the years come at the price of discovering that many folks appreciably younger than oneself have only the sketchiest knowledge of seminal events in world history. The reason for this seems to be that the teaching of genuine history has long gone out of the window in favour of social studies, an unsavoury melange of history and geography viewed through the prism of fashionable biases and prejudices. It is admittedly quite droll to hear students at the country's leading universities opine that the American Revolution took place sometime between the turn of the 19th and the 20th centuries, and the Civil War began in 1928. Ignorance, they say, is bliss. But while this might offer the smugger degree of pleasure in the short term, in the longer term, the consequences of ignorance can be devastating. Not least, as the Spanish-American sage George Santayana famously observed, those who will not learn from history are doomed to repeat it. The truth of his statement can currently be seen in the turmoil in the streets of Seattle, Portsmouth, Chicago, Rochester, New York, Washington, D.C., and many other cities, great and small. The rioters' leaders, and many of their rank and file, claim to be Marxist. Yet, ironically, few of them have anything more than the vaguest knowledge of Karl Marx's ideology. Some might briefly have scanned his Communist Manifesto, but that's just Marx clearing his throat. His ideology is actually propounded in Das Kapital, published a good 30 years after the Manifesto. Such is the brevity of the average youthful attention span, few have summed up the intestinal fortitude to struggle through the three dreary volumes of Kapital. Had they actually got to the third volume, they would in fact discovered what a load of hogwash it really is. That's not just my opinion. A friend, then a Marxist ideologist for the Poland's communist government, cynically pointed out to me that the safest place to hide one's savings was the third volume of Kapital. Nobody's ever opened it, let alone read it, he explained gleefully. If anybody had bothered to read it, I'd be out of a job, because it's so patently idiotic. The hapless adults responsible for presiding over New York, Seattle, Portland, Chicago, Washington et al. Are no better informed about the past than the vicious young thugs destroying their cities. Clearly, neither the city fathers and mothers, a genuflection to gender equality, nor the rioters themselves seem aware of the parallel between the riots in their streets and the turmoil in Germany's Weimar Republic in the wake of the First World War. In Weimar, 12 years of murderous street battles between gangs of socialist, communist and Nazi stormtroopers culminated in the rise to power of a minority government led by Adolf Hitler. The Nazis never came anywhere near a majority of the popular vote, but with Hitler as chancellor, they were able to federalize the nation's police forces to create the Geheime Staatspolizei, the Gestapo. The riots then having outlived their usefulness, Hitler ordered the slaughter of the stormtroopers' leaders in the Night of the Long Knives, while their lesser henchmen vanished into the concentration camps, along with, ironically, the communists and socialists they were fighting in the streets. Thus, turmoil disappeared from Germany's city streets. But it was replaced by something far worse, brutal national socialist totalitarian terror. However, Please do not be tempted to cast President Trump as a totalitarian in this scenario. Like him or loathe him, he's much more the equivalent of Ludwig Erhard, the Christian Democrat Treasury Minister, later Chancellor, who was the author of Germany's economic miracle after the Second World War. Candidates for totalitarian dictator are rather more likely to be found among the avowed Marxists who lead Black Lives Matter and the fascistic, anti-fascist masterminds of Antifa. But sad to say, it would take a knowledge of history to recognise them, wouldn't it?